Hello, this is Victor Nyauchi, listening to Clubhouse and Podcast.
Not that cricket. Hi there, we're on the Boundary End, Clubhouse End. Clubhouse End podcast. And when the Clubhouse End, because we're just ranking about the Clubhouse. Yeah, after Zimbabwe just won a match, a thriller, as they call them, nail biting end. When Wellington Masakadza hits that four, when he comes in, hits that four with two balls in the 18.4.
Into the 19th over.
Yes, yeah. I'm like, we've won the game. My name is Larry Kuda. I'm here with Darlin Matamanazo. When Zimbabwe just won their second ever match against Afghanistan, and also they've won two matches in a row.
It's unfamiliar territory. I'm just kind of like thinking, like, okay, when is the absolute disaster going to happen? You know, it's
57 was the absolute disaster.
No, but like, yeah, we're used to it. Like, it's difficult for me to.
We have never had a score of 57. The lowest score before that was 82.
82, but like, I want to just like say something. I think it was the grittiest, scrappiest win that I've seen Zimbabwe, the new Zimbabwe, actually put on. It wasn't flowing like a well-rounded performance. I think I used a word to describe the way that Dion Myers played today. I said he was very self-possessed. He was just really, he really let the game flow towards him, and then he attacked afterwards. Whereas I think he looked like he was about to miss a train when all the time he was playing in Bulawayo. But today it was. An understanding that he hadn't shown me the ability to just start slowly and still score quickly.
Those two fours of Rashid Khan, one of the greatest bowlers ever.
Yeah,
incredible stuff.
No, I mean like that big six over long one. Like yeah. For me, like that was it was a mark of a really high quality player, and I think that's a good sign. I also think. And it's a horrible thing to say out loud, but I think it, you know, I think the worst looking Man of the Match award performance I've ever seen was actually Brian Bennett today.
But isn't that the sort of thing we've been missing? If you have that kind of performance against Scotland at the qualifier, against Uganda, you win the match.
You know, for me, it was gritty and determined. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't great to watch. But what he did is he just kind of like said, like, you know what, I'm going to go fuck it. I'm just going to do this. And he really, really worked hard. When people actually did bowl in his zones, he smashed it. But like a lot of guys, like Afghanistan have obviously studied him. And then they just didn't bowl much in his zones. So he scored slowly. Didn't look pretty while he was scoring. But he set up a win, and he earned. He deserves the Man of the Match award.
Trevor Gwandu, brilliant first two overs, goes for just 8 runs. The third over, a lot of people are going to have a huge discussion. Say, let's go for 20. Sorry, but 8 of those runs are misfields.
Yeah, I understand this, but like you know what it is he was bowling at. I think his name is Azmatullah and at Nabi at that time. Really good players. They understand what they were doing, and what they do is they're not going to target Ngaraba or Mabunu. They're going to target him. And to get away with 21 runs in an over, yeah, it happens. It happens, and it's happened to very
some of the best players.
Best players in the world.
It happened to Stark recently.
There we go. Yeah. So
he went for. Almost 30 or something.
That's right, and I think that like, As long as fear doesn't become a driving process in his thinking about how he prepares for international cricket, I think it's a good experience for Trevor Gwandu to go for those sort of numbers.
But I mean, we can't really talk about it being fair because he comes for the last over and concedes five, is it?
Yeah, yeah. But like, the other very interesting thing is we had two coming of age stories today. Okay, that comeback. Three. I think Dion Myers, the way he played, for me was a coming of age story. It's just like, you know what? What I got to do is I can't just come out here and boss it. I've actually got to work for my runs. And he went and did it. And as did Brian Bennett. Really worked hard, difficult conditions. Didn't try to throw it away. Because I think the temptation often when your last series, you were going at like 180 or 150 as strike rate. The temptation is just like, ah, fuck this. I'm just going to have another go. But he actually really knuckled down, worked hard, waited for bad balls, put those bad balls away, and then looked bad while he was doing it. But respect.
It's a mature inning, is it? Because, I mean, he debuted on the 9th of December last year. So it's 1 year, 2 days into being in Zimbabwe International.
And I'm not going to count those performances in those qualifiers in Uganda, yeah. Like Kenya, I like to say, yeah. But I'm not going to count those. Like, he might have won some Man of Match awards there. I don't really remember. Because I thought it was like nothing cricket. But he's had two Man of the Match awards back to back. And he had an over today where he went for 21, but the first or second ball he bowled was a drop catch. At international cricket, there's no such thing as like easy catches. I don't think Wesley should have held on to that one. He didn't, you know, and it could have been a very different like event. It could have been, you know, but like as I said, I really like there's an attitude about him that is absolutely necessary for me to succeed. That is important, I think, for Zim cricket to have.
Trevor Gwandu again comes in towards the end. The coach has given that confidence to say, go in, have a bit of a bat. Because he could have easily gone with Richard Ngarama at that point.
Mm.
What, is it a confidence issue, or you as a coach, do you sometimes say, I can see this guy's got something in his eye today?
I wouldn't have gone that way because like Richard Ngarawa's got like a whole bunch of success behind him with a bat at the back end of an innings. But I think what you want to try and do is obviously create a culture where anybody in your 11 can be called upon to fulfill that task, that do that thing that's required of them. You know what I mean? There's a lot that I don't know about Justin Simmons, but I like there's an inherent positivity about the way he does like cricket. Like he's always looking for a way to just like put the most positive spin on a situation, and I think that Trevor Gwandu doing that was important.
I guess from what you're saying, though, is I would ask if I think in the press conference or asked Raza, what do you say to guys who've never faced Rishad Khan before and you've played with him? What do you say to them? He says, oh, well, you've got to play. That's how you're going to learn. That's how it is. So is it like, I mean, I guess in some instances, Trevor Gwandu has never been expected to win a match. So you never know if he can win a match. And if you look at it, ever since Wellington Masakaza went out and came back, he looks a completely different beast. He looks like a player who is on a mission. Like he comes into that team and is now behaving Wellington Masakaza used to hide a lot.
He's behaving like a fucking match winner.
Exactly. He taking responsibility.
Yeah, taking responsibility. He walks out, first ball he faces, and he nailed it. It wasn't a top edge or whatever.
It was a four.
He absolutely hit it over the middle of the bat, finds the gap between two fielders on the longest boundary at Harry Sports Club and gets it away. And then he bowls three overs. That's what he was given as an allotment. He goes for six runs and over. That's for 1 minute.
You hit the right spot.
For me, he's really showing signs of something really special. You know, it's good to watch. Because you and I have had conversations where I think I've said some fairly negative things about Wellington off air and whatnot. But he's done everything that I require for him to for me to admit that, okay, well, I might have been wrong here. You know, and it tastes like sawdust.
Look, I've always been of the opinion that if Wellington Asakaza like, had a different surname, it'd be more palatable to a lot of people. Because there is this social media conspiracy that he gets into the team because of his brother and also because he's Takashinga and so forth. But he is a really good cricket player.
No, he is. And the thing about him is, I don't know, the last successes I had in my final days playing league cricket, one of them was against him. So, you know, and I was thinking, I was at the time mid-40s, and I was shit. You know, I know there's guys in their mid-40s who are good cricketers. I wasn't a good cricketer in my mid-40s. I was shit, and I managed to smash him around. And I think I had that thing that I was like, if I can smash him around, why are international cricketers? You know what I mean? I have to admit I was wrong. I really underestimated him. And he just keeps finding these performances under pressure at key moments in a game where he bowls well and then he fields well now as well. And then he'll come in and bat well.
Annoying thing for Zimbabwe is 40 for 5 becomes 144 for 6.
Yeah, but... You know what it is? Is if you play against some of the best sides in the world, I think that Afghanistan is
one of the best. Yeah, they're World Cup semifinals.
Yeah, so if you play against the best sides in the world, you're gonna get Wesley got a good ball. I thought Brian Bennett got a good ball. It wasn't a bad shot.
And that catch from Raza was incredible.
Yeah, and that catch, exactly.
At mid-wicket, it was cover.
Cover, yeah. Okay. So what you when you play against a really good side, they're going to get things right in patches, okay? What I liked about it is about Zimbabwe today, so they didn't get overawed when that happened. Right. So they there's the understanding that, you know what it is, your opponents aren't just going to sit and watch you play cricket. They're going to play good cricket as well. And today, it was the first time that I actually saw Zim allow their opponents to play good cricket, because it's going to happen, but just not get blown away by it. One of the stone cold is the only way I could describe the way that Tashingam Sekua went about his innings today. He looked unfazed. He didn't celebrate that win. And I found that a little bit, every time you hit the winning runs.
He doesn't celebrate much, Tashinga.
You're just thinking, okay, well, sometimes guys go over the top when they celebrate a win. He didn't do that. And I think there'd been questions asked about his
inclusion.
He answered a portion of those questions. Okay. What he hasn't done is he hasn't come in when he's got a long time to bat.
Does that also then sort of say if you bring in a guy to bat and you're putting him at number 6 or so, what do you think about that?
Well,
I mean, I don't think he would bat ahead of 7, yes.
Seven.
I don't think you'd bat ahead of... Wesley, for example. So I look at the players that are ahead of him. he doesn't bat ahead of them. But I'm just saying, to get him say, he has an amazing strike rate in terms of domestic.
Yeah.
Strike rate is like 150 or whatever, I guess. So I understand the inclusion around that. But if a guy is coming in simply to bat, what are we saying?
I mean, like literally he earned his money today. Because that's what he's being paid to do. He's walking in a very difficult situation, negotiate and win. So he literally, I think, in my opinion, if you're saying to a guy, bat seven and don't bowl, okay, he's not an all-rounder. What you're saying to him is that, like, if I am 25, you're the guy who figures out how to win from that perspective. And then if you need seven or eight and over when you come in, you're the guy who figures out.
It's about game awareness.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're really trusting him and saying that, you know, we think you can figure it out from whatever. Because I think number seven is one of the most difficult places to bat in T20. Simply because you can come in, face one ball, and be expected to hit six off one ball. Or you can come in and you're coming in and you're needing 12 and over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? From the time you walk in. So you're saying to a guy, you're the last batsman, and we're expecting you that from this perspective, whatever is thrown at you, you can just absorb that and win from that perspective.
I actually think he's going to be a brilliant batter for Zimbabwe. I think he's got the skill set. I think sometimes a match like this, he needed it. But sometimes you start doubting yourself because you start thinking, maybe those who are saying I'm not ready are right. Fortunately, I haven't seen him on social media. I think the good thing for a lot of the Zimbabwean players is that they're not on social media or not active, because it's a toxic place that can make you start thinking you shouldn't even be a cricketer.
Yeah, and it can also blow smoke up your ass. And true. Think you're a better cricketer than you really are.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But I know that a lot of people use undercover accounts. You know, I personally have.
How many?
No, I have one. Okay, and that
you have one undercover
one
account.
Extra account. I'm darling to my tambanas on Instagram. But I have another Instagram account. I'm not going to tell you what it's called.
Who does that? Guys, so you're making Twitter think they have like a whole lot of followers, users, but half of them may be people with two accounts.
Yeah, it might be. Because you know what it is that like there's stuff that there's an account I use for research. And you go like a new guy. You hear that like some dude is like interesting content. Do I want it on my main account? Probably not. Because you know what it is? In 6 months' time, he turns out to be a prick. So I don't want him on my main account.
Okay, let's go back to cricket. Yeah. So, the win today, I guess it's either a difficult or an easy post-match. Because you won today. And you won in very difficult circumstances. You have to do it again on Friday and on Saturday. So how do you go through the post match?
So there'd be a worry because you didn't get that partnership you used to at the top of the order. That has to be a worry.
You're like, is it a worry because it's the first fail in a while?
No, I understand this, but like you know what it is you want to try and figure out is it one of those things you can ignore. Because sometimes you know, statistically, even the best laid plans are going to fail somewhere. Okay? But, like, is it an issue that, like, oh, this is still the best laid plan? Okay? It failed today, but it's going to win 99% of the other times. And you got to post-match about being clear about that. Okay? That it's not a problem that we should worry about. And then I think the other thing is, like Bennett struggled. He played well, but he struggled to play well. Is that going to be the way that happens at the top of the order through the series?
My question, my answer on those would be, would the question be, we've actually turned Bennett into a player who isn't going to give his wicket away, who is going to say, look, I'm going to push this as far as I go. Because if Bennett goes out there, then there's a collapse.
Yeah.
Like what happened in Bulawayo. Because that's number one. Number two, Marumani, that was in the slot. You play that shot. Didn't time it well, but he didn't go out playing a terrible shot. So I don't think either of those two situations are life-changing.
You know, so you and I, in a sense, we have this habit of like looking at the same, at a dollar coin, and you call it like 250 cents, and I call it 425 cents. You know, we're saying the same thing, in the sense that like, I don't think that there's a reason to panic about what happened. I don't think that Maru or Bennett need to be moved around. I don't think there's going to be changes need to be made unless it's an injury issue or you're managing someone like Ngarawa's workload or Nzarabani's workload or something like that. You know, because we know that that's who are like.
I mean, it was fascinating about that. Justin said, when these guys get pulled out of part of these series, they're not getting pulled up, pulled out to manage their load. It's actually getting pulled up to load them because they need to play tests.
Yeah.
So it's not even a case of they're coming out so that they rest. But essentially, they get out to do 5 days potentially.
Yeah, this is, yeah. So, I agree with that. I mean, like, it's important to make sure that, like, what you want to try and do is figure out how to win three phenomenally different types of cricket. They're cricket. The basics of them are the same. They look the same.
But in reality, they're not the same.
But they're not the same thing. So you need to figure out how to win all three. Like, you need to go and win one and draw one against Afghanistan to win the test match. You need to win two in the T20s and then two in the ODIs.
Minimum.
Yeah. That's what your minimum goal has to be. And so, like, so for me, you're thinking in those sort of things. Is how do I win a three-format series against Afghanistan?
Finally, look, today seems Zimbabwe have managed to spin relatively well. Is it because it's a different surface, or they've learned something?
I think they've learned something. So for me, I think the word I used when we were doing commentary was like for me, Dion Myers looks a lot more composed. By that I meant that he was willing to give the first sort of 10 or 15 minutes of play to Afghanistan. He didn't walk out and attack immediately, which is what we saw was his game plan in Bulawayo. He just walked out and ball one. He was like, I'm going to dominate you and whatnot. But he just, you know, like I have a concept that says, you know, every time you're batting, wherever you're batting, when a wicket falls, your heart rate spikes. And it's just a human reaction to like, you know what, I'm being called on to go and perform here. Your heart rate spikes a little bit. And then it spikes, it stays high for maybe another 10 or 15, maybe 5 minutes, depending on your character. And then there's a point like your heart rate reaches that place where you play at all the time. And often it's just like, takes a few minutes to do that, a few deliveries and over or so. And I think he just allowed his, that heart rate to settle. And then once he allowed the heart rate to settle, he played some amazing shots. There was a shot over long one off Rashid Khan. It's, you know, like if you had a spank bank for cricket shots, that's going to go in there. You know what I mean? It's going to be one of those things that you'd be like, I got to watch this one again. I got to watch this one again. Definitely. And he owned like Rashid Khan. He was expensive for a period, came back at the end. But Dion Myers really attacked him and attacked him well.
Finally, your socials?
Darlington Matambanazo. This is my Instagram, @DarlingtonMatambanazo. And then @DarlingtonMatambanazo is my Facebook. And then Dali underscore M-A-T-A-Z Matthias is my ex or Twitter.
He's not dating himself, guys. My name is Larry Quiterai. This has been the Clubhouse End Podcast. I'm hoping you guys are enjoying our rebranded look. The brand is, we've just gone a little more African because we're Africa and stuff. Go for more color because, well, we're going to do more color. So, Three Men on the Boat, that's what we are on Twitter. And he calls it X. I'll never call it X. but it's X, okay. And the Facebook, 3mob.com on Instagram, 3 as a digit, MOBDOTCOM. And then we've also got it on YouTube, 3-mob.com. If you listen to the podcast, you can listen to it on whatever podcatcher you catch it on, except YouTube. I haven't got time to put it up on YouTube Music because the way YouTube Music makes it work is very onerous. You gotta like upload things and stuff. And we have so many episodes. Like, we gotta put 70 episodes up. And in other countries, they allow us to use the RSS feed. So if you guys know tech, it's like you can just link it and then it's done. So until YouTube makes that available to Africa, or specifically Zimbabwe, I won't be available on YouTube for a bit because it just is a lot of work. But we're available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Iodo, Afropods, all those people. And thank you so much. My name is Larry Quiterai. I've been here with Darlington Matambanazo. This is a 3Mob Radio production. For Three Men on the Boat, and we'll talk to you after the match on Friday. Remember, it's the summer of cricket. There's Test cricket coming in. There are the three T20s. The first one is done. Zimbabwe won. Woohoo! All right.
Yeah, fantastic. I'm a little shocked at the moment. Not really sure how to respond.
I'm not even shocked. I was chilled. When Little Masakaza walks out there, I'm like, we're winning this. I was out there on the grass bank and people asked, yeah, I'm saying you're willing to get away. Because I've seen the fact that he's intentional about hitting balls. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but I was just like, today, his body language is like, I'm here to win this. And like you said, he's taking responsibility. All right, cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.